Off the Ball Rugby.
You know, and in that coffee in Melbourne, Joe did say that, you know, stay fit. If something happens, you know, we may need you. And I thought, yeah, no chance that's happening, mate.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The Racing Pod
on Off the Ball
with William Hill. Who you got? 18 plus. See gamblingcare.ie.
Welcome to episode 91 of the Racing Pod on Off the Ball. John Duggan and Johnny Ward with you. Remember, we're here every week with analysis, race previews, tips, interview stories, bit of crack as well. Reminder, folks, the full Off the Ball Racing Pod is now free wherever you get your pods. Johnny, how's the form?
I'm very well, JD.
Pat Smullen, the charity race in honour of him, is at the Curra this Saturday. So great to see this continuing, Johnny. 21 riders going to line up for this. And hard to believe, almost 5 years since Pat's gone at the age of 43, nine-time Irish champion jockey in the flat, Irish Derby winner, Epsom Derby winner, but more importantly, a gentleman of the sport.
A gentleman, yeah. And one thing I that resonates with me always about Pat Smullen, JD, is that he recognised whilst he was sick, he got a lot of perspective in his life that this pursuit of, I suppose, in his, he was such a single-minded winner seeker in terms of racing, and like he was a Derby winner and he won the big races, but he was very, very hungry, like really hungry and obsessive probably, which maybe separates the very good from the great or whatever. But when he was sick, and unfortunately with pancreatic cancer, even if you get a bit of a run at it, you've plenty of time to think about your mortality and all that. But he said, I didn't have enough time to be a family man, because all I could think of really was, and it wasn't that he was a bad father, but he was so pursuant of winners that he was like, I'm actually thankful for this time that I'm spending with my family. And I was in Killarney last week and I was talking to his wife, Frances, because Paddy Smullen was going to have a ride on Mont Saint-Michel in the last race that day, and the flat meeting between the two jumps meetings. And he won, and he's such a chip off the old block. He really, really is, even though he looks like he's actually strikingly resemblant of his cousins as well. So he's related to first cousin of the O'Briens, and he looks like them. But you see these who are basically kids, they're now becoming jockeys, and Hannah and all the kids. But Pat Smullen realised as he was sick, like as much as, you know, a lot of people out there will be wrapped up in their job or wrapped up in work, wrapped up in stuff that ultimately is great, but like it's good to look after your family and to remember that that's what it's all about. And he got that perspective late in his life, and I'm sure it's still really, really hard for the family. He was taken so young. You know, we've had a tragic week with Ollie Horgan passing in soccer as well, and he was 57, and Pat Smullen like got into his early 40s.
43,
alone.
Yeah.
It's really tragic, but he's doing way more in death than many of us ever will, and that legacy lives on. And the coast to Curra, the Curra to Curra cycle tomorrow as well, which Gavin Lynch organises. Gavin lost his mum to pancreatic cancer, has been a brilliant incentive. And as I say, I've said a few times, I'll never forget the day that the jockeys rode for
Pat. It was unbelievable.
Incredible.
AP McCoy was there, and it was a shiver down the spine day, just in terms of the power of it.
Men of granite and basalt and the hardest stone imaginable were crying, and I really was welling up that day, even in the press room looking at the footage. There was just this kind of weirdly emotional feeling there, and you could see that Pat had, I suppose, like Ollie Horgan in recent times, you know, he'd regressed a lot through the horrible illness he was facing, and you could see that he was sick, but you could also see what it meant. And it was a great kind of race as well, because you had all these legends riding against each other, and some of the riders tomorrow that are returning, Davy Condon riding, was a big fan of him. His career ended prematurely, but I always say if you get out in one piece as a jockey, you're kind of okay. But I'm looking forward to seeing Davy riding. He rides Redwood Queen for Keane Collins, who's certainly been in the news this year. Redwood Queen, Pat Shanahan riding for Dermot Weld. Pat'll be a good age now, and a lot of good characters riding in the race.
21 riders taking part over a mile and 4 furlongs. 5:47 p.m. folks, the time on Saturday of the race. All participating riders have a link to someone affected by cancer. So can Thurles be saved? The answer is yes. Horse Racing Ireland stepping in for the jumps program. We felt that the privately owned race course would be sold, and possibly, but look, there's going to be racing at Thurles this season. That's good.
Yeah, it was. I suppose if you were betting on it, this was the most likely thing to happen in the short term anyway, JD, that they would save the meetings for the next, 7 or 8 months, and then give that time and have some sort of an idea what's going to happen from March onwards next year. You know, it's been a year where I suppose the climate crisis has definitely affected Thurles in that, like, it probably never, it rarely if ever experienced a winter so dry after a really wet winter last year. And the limitations of Thurles as a racetrack in terms of its lack of modern facilities came to the fore when they just couldn't water properly. If you wanted to shoot a movie from the 1950s and you want to go to a race meeting, Thurles would be fine. Wouldn't be alone now in Irish in racetracks because a lot of them need a lot of work. But Thurles, it's almost like it's almost quaint how old it is. Do you know what I mean? It's like going back in time, and it's, you see the same sort of men there every day, and it's just kind of like cold, get a hot whiskey or a tea or coffee in on a Thursday in winter. It has that feel to it. It's kind of homely. And the racetrack being run after Piers Maloney died, being run by the family, they never applied for a grant. So it's hard to know what their long-term prospects or long-term ambitions were. And it's been a tough year for them. But this means now that, you know, perhaps, as David Jennings alluded to in the race post day, perhaps the Tipperary staff, because that's a HRI run course, can maybe help out with Thurles. But there won't be a want of lack of people who want to get involved, because Willie Mullins spoke well about it. Thurles would be an awful loss, really would be. Like, there are some racetracks, if they went, they'd be forgotten about in the main pretty quickly, you know. But Thurles is a really important track in Ireland.
And also where AP McCoy and Rachel Blackmore had their first winners. Mm. So that's the latest news there. A bit of sad news from the world of flat racing as well. Ruling Course, the Guineas winner, sadly died. Had a foot disease.
Yeah, Godolphin have had a bit of bad luck, I suppose, with a couple of fatalities this week. But Ruling Court, yeah, it was again, like, he was a horse who was bought for an awful lot of money as a breeze up. Probably lucky to beat Field of Gold in hindsight in the Guineas, and ran a good race at Sandown behind Delacroix, and he was going to be a real like globe trotting, I'd say, brilliant mile and two horse for Godolphin. Unfortunately, yeah, that's, you know, he only got as far as a 3-year-old, being by Justify as well. It would be interesting how he would have gotten on as a sire. But yeah, very sad news in an equine context.
So the Curragh on Saturday, we're going to look forward to the races there and do our preview of them, and also look at Sandown as well, folks. So the Irish Cambridgeshire, 4:37 p.m, 15-runner handicap over a mile. This is really competitive, and a lot of horses here with chances, and a lot of horses, of course, for him.
Yeah, and it's a 100 grand race. A lot of these premier handicaps now are struggling prize money wise, and the Cambridgeshire is that level where it's 100 grand. I suppose it's not too bad, but you will see, JD, a lot of the horses in this bracket are being sold because, and in fairness, I can't see how we really compete with some of the other jurisdictions. But it's left some. I mean, there was a premier handicap at Killarney won by a horse rated 70 the other day who got in, and it's kind of a strange feeling at Chutzpal for Henry de Bromhead. But this race, in terms of being a premier handicap, is just that. You have 108, 105, 104, 97 and downwards. I don't know what you like in the race. I'm going to take a chance on how you like that for Hilary McLaughlin, who trains in near Thurles, who we mentioned. Patrick McGettigan rides. He's been riding for Johnny Murta. His claim of £7 is massive in a race like this, where you don't get horses really with much, if anything, in hand at this stage of their life. Even the horses who will be fairly short in the betting, State Actor, who's 11-2, he's absolutely exposed. And I could make a case for him. Genuine Article, who's rated, who's 13-2, he's a 5-year-old as well. Most of these horses have little in hand. But I do feel you could make a case for how you like that at the prices, and William Hill will probably be offering a decent each way terms in the race, because he's sixth at Galway.
25 to 1,
yeah. He was sixth at Galway, beaten 5 lengths behind Dunham when he met traffic, did come up the rail, but stayed on quite well. He's £2 lower, and Patrick McGettigan, £7, is very important. And he didn't run bad behind Talara in a stakes race at Killarney. So I give him a bit of a life. You're obviously expecting him not to win, but he might win, and certainly he should be good enough to get involved for the place. There's another couple of horses I give mention to. Curdor, Tip McGalway, ran very, very disappointing, but he's a lot better than that. And Godwin's Son is probably going to go off favourite. Rymore for William Haggis. He's a horse who might have a bit more to offer, and you'd have to respect any British raider in an Irish handicap.
But he's getting the money. Godwin's Son, he's been backed into 130. 7-2 in places as well, Godwin's Son. So he won the Lincoln at Doncaster earlier this year. He likes a bit of giving the ground, But Ryan Moore in the saddle is a massive plus. And as you say, not coming over for nothing. Corridor won this in 2023 after winning the Galway Mile. 9 years of age now. Not getting any younger, but each way claims definitely.
I tipped up another Durham Wild Horse tomorrow. But I tipped up a Durham Wild Horse in Navan yesterday and he ran really badly. And his last three or four runners haven't run well at all. That'd be a slight concern. But Corridor, Dermot Weld has the visor on, like he should be well capable of getting involved, and he's a consistent horse apart from the last day.
Well, Blue's Emperor is a course and distance winner of a Derby Weekend handicap a couple of years ago, then second in this off a £1 higher mark, had a claimer on board then, won on his punch but started very has the abilities there. He's got probably an each way squeak, Blue's
yeah,
Emperor.
Yeah, if he came back to his best, I actually backed him that day at the Curragh. It was one of my better bets in the day. It was a big day at the Curragh, and he does like the Curragh. He wasn't really fancied in Galway, and in fairness to Fairy House, he came good that day. That was a sort of a relatively minor race, but that third at the Curragh off 89 suggested he might be coming back. So the problem is he's £6 higher, and I should mention Bear Prophet as well, who was ahead of my selection in Galway, got £5 for that. Now Nicola Burns is doing really, really well, takes off 7. His form ties in with Booyah, who would have a chance, but again looks quite high in the weights. But Bear Prophet at sort of 10-1, you could make a case for.
I'd like to say it, actor.
Bill Farrell is a trainer I've had a soft spot for a long time. I like he has very few horses. Could definitely make a case for him as well.
Like he beat the head last year, £2 higher, but he's young enough, an improvement might come at 5 years of age. A course and distance winner. He's grand versatile. Dylan Brown McMonagle booked. I think he's definitely got claims.
Definitely, yeah.
And I think that, look, he's what, 11-2, a bit of a drift on him. Genuine Article as well. Can't be discounted as well. Seamus
Heffernan. £10 for Galway was the big concern.
In terms of the outsiders, yeah, look, Pink's Oxalis, Wayne Lorden booked to ride Stephen Thorne's horse. So that horse won over the course and distance earlier this season, but is £9 higher.
She was 4 to Genuine Article the last day, and she's not that long with Stephen, who's having a brilliant first season. If she could get an ease in the ground, which she's not going to, well, she might get actually a little bit of the rain, that would definitely help.
Tokenomics is only 4, that's exposing some of these course winner and a distance winner, but he's was not sighted at Royal Ascot last time, Tokenomics.
Just frustrating for people on track that 15 runners means 3 places. Yeah. It's a complete non-bet. You can't bet each way.
On the track, you only get 3 places.
Yeah, like so the track, in fairness, but they'll also lay a sort of an each-way race that's not favourable for them. But 15 runners, it's a bit of an indictment of where we're at in Ireland that we can't get more than 15 runners for the Cambridgeshire. The Curragh have, as far as I'm aware, the Curragh with the view to maximising turnover on their races, which is where you're at now for turnover. Is basically the race courses media rights money is dependent on the turnover on races at that track. And the Curragh, to my mind, with that in mind, have £20,000 minimum races all the time. So that means that these lower grade fields will get high fields. And the more runners in a race, the better the turnover. Should we get more than 15 for the Cambridgeshire? And that's, I think, you know, a lot of trainers have spoken about this. The horses of that sort of handicap bracket, it's just not worth it. If they're up for sale, you sell them.
That's why you'd have to give a chance to Godwinson. Yeah, over.
Absolutely.
And Ryan Moore riding.
I'm not exactly sure at Goodwood the last day. He'd want to be better than that because
he does go in and out. You know, like this is the handicaps. Like
he beat a Randy.
Sometimes it's almost worth backing 2 horses to win only in these things. Sometimes.
Yeah, yeah. If you're at the track tomorrow, do not back each way in this race with 15 runners. It's not, you're 100% not going to get favourable each way.
You probably should back 2 horses to win.
Yeah, I've no issue with that. I do. I'm an each way player. I like punting each way. Maybe it's a psychological thing.
But it's a sensible thing.
It's sensible, but if you're out to make your millions, maybe it's not the way to go. But if you want to have an interest in a race, and I remember getting into betting like all those years ago when. Obviously, I wasn't betting with the Toad as a youngster, but when you're at the race, I couldn't get over this win, place, show thing in the States. What does it all mean? And you can bet, you know, to get your horse to place and see what the odds are. But you don't bet each way in this race of 15 runners.
Would you be an accumulator player?
Absolutely. And
have you ever got an accumulator up?
Yeah, yeah. There was a betting shop, I remember, JD. I used to work in Satanta, and we were on just over the Liffey in the Ulster Bank building. And there was a betting shop near then. It's kind of like the Bermuda Triangle of betting shops around that Amiens Street direction. You probably know the firm I'm talking about. And there was an old Terry Rogers that was taken over by the bookmaker. But they used to have an offer if you did a Yankee, which is 4 bets, doubles, trebles, and 11 bets. It's doubles, trebles, and the four timers. So you pick four horses, no singles.
It's a lucky 15 without the singles.
Exactly. They used to have an offer. If you've just one winner in your Yankee and the other three don't win and it's 9-4 or bigger, we'll give you your money back. Now, I thought this was the best incentive ever. So you'd put four horses in, great if two of them win. Three of them, happy days. If one of them wins, you've your money back. Now, that was a brilliant incentive. The same shop, I think, might be gone, and it catered for the workers in the IFSC. And like people have such negativity around betting now. You go into that betting shop at lunchtime and to see all the people come in, some of them would bring their lunch, their Subway from next door. Some of them would end up talking to their pals who are also at work. And they'd have a couple of bets. It was a lovely social thing. It really was. It was like, do you know when you go to like Mulligan's and Poolbeg Street on a Friday and around 5 o'clock, half five, 6 o'clock, all of these people come in. There's this real hum of noise, like, and there's all this expectation. And people will come into the betting shop. And you might get a very good meeting as well at lunch. Like, there could be like a good meeting in England where you'd have a bet on a good 2-year-old that Aidan O'Brien sent over. But I remember those days fondly. And anyway, I suppose one of the first accumulators got up. I got three horse in a Yankee like that. And it paid like, say, 700 or 800 euro. And I, at the time, I'm sure I wasted it, but I had a lot of fun.
Very good. Very good.
It's great to get them. Like, it's, I love multiple bets and it gives you excitement as well. I was thinking of this lately, right? If, you know, the pick six and the tote jackpot, like, it's sad that those really sad. Like, what did
tragic.
Your dad get up back in the day?
He won the jackpot at Leopardstown on his own on Stephen's Day, 1991. He won 18,000 punts.
18,000 punts. Life-changing. Like, absolutely, even
you got a new kitchen out of it.
But that is life changing. Every time you put on the kettle, it's like, you know, such and such a horse is that for me.
But everybody's going to have their day in the sun, and it kind of breaks my heart.
Money.
It breaks my heart that Irish racing's failing when it comes to things like this.
It should be the, like, for me, and I've noticed this lately. Saturdays is the racing day. Like, it's when there's this buzz. Like, when you have a big race, but like there should be a guaranteed pot every Saturday for somebody to win. Like, and my idea was everyone who pays into the race course, who's 18 or over, gets a free like selection on the jackpot. So he or she can have it and will absolutely win because we need people paying in. But that multiple, the lottery type thing should not be gone. And if I'm watching the racing on a Saturday and I know that there are three people left in race six and this is what they've left, that gives me an interest in race of no betting. Should not be redundant at this stage.
But my friends won Christmas Leopardstown and I picked the horses and we won the jackpot. And now it paid 100 quid or something, right? But the buzz we had for the last leg with that horse that we were following and it won and then we all went crazy. It was only 100 quid. It didn't matter. It was the following of leg one, we're still in it. Leg two, we're still in it. Leg three, we're still in it. And how many units are left now for the last race? It's an absolute...
It's brilliant.
In a sporting sense, it's a tragedy. I hate what's happened with it. Because it's for the small punter. They go to the races. They have an interest for a few quid, just like a small bet.
100%.
And then they have an interest for the day.
And I was talking to a guy lately in England and he was telling me how, and these are just like, I know we have, you know, problem gambling is an awful thing. It's an awful thing. And I'm not downplaying it, but it's almost like we can't talk about the fun and how much enjoyment I've gotten out of stories from people who had no bet in anything. And this guy is sitting across from me at a bar in York and he's telling me about how himself and his brother did the pick six at Hove Dogs the night before because there was a rollover. Right. But in order to do the pick six at Hove Dogs, you had to go to the track. So he gave 100 quid to a lady he knew in Hove and he gave her the 100 quid and she went down and she did all the perms that she could get. And they won. They won like 3 grand or something. And there was probably so few people betting, but there was a rollover. And the joy that he got out of this, because he saw a bit of a kink in the rollover system. And the tote used to have fantastic rollovers where you'd have like 100 grand payouts and all of these people would be getting involved at the Galway Festival and all that. That should not be gone. Like, you really do need to get that back.
Absolutely, yeah. Well, for small money, great interest and a great experience at the race day and trying to solve the puzzle. And that's the whole thing is trying to solve the puzzle.
Yeah.
Find the winners.
And even if I remember one day talking to a lady who she won like $500,000 or something and she'd connections to my mother at home. I don't know if she got school to her or something, but she picked these horses based on names and all of that. And she did like basically a jackpot bet and it all came off and it was all over the papers at the time. And I just thought it was a wonderful story. We need to celebrate that in racing. Like most people bet for fun and that can be extreme fun for no money.
Yeah.
Obviously and there's a bit of picking the lotto numbers is maybe a bit of luck. There's actually a bit of intuition in trying to pick winners.
The lotto is, you got no chance in the lotto.
No.
Statistically, the lotto is a poor person's tax.
Mm.
That's what it is. Or it's methadone for gamblers. The lotto. And the way the lotto was a good cause or whatever, there's very little chance of winning the lotto. No, you have more chance of winning at the races.
And I've worked in shops at home, like, and I've seen people come in, like, squander a lot of money, like playing the slot machine, but playing like their little lotto dockets or whatever, or buying the scratch cards, like, and you know, it's almost like that's kind of allowed in society, but like you can't have a bet anymore. Like, and I do feel, and
it's,
I know,
double standards.
It's real double standards, and I know Sam Norris would be of the mind that like you should never ever underestimate the fun. Like, and I've met some of my best friends in life in the betting shop, 100%. Like, if I ever get married, like there'd be about 10 or 12 people at that wedding who I met through horses or in the betting shop in Whitehall when I went to college. And the fun we had, the different characters, the fellow who sold the cars, the guy who basically was on the dole, the old pensioner, the students, every sort of character, it was absolutely magic. Like, and we shouldn't lose sight of the social aspect to it.
It's also obscene as well that somebody can win 250 million quid in society on the lotto. Like, that's just madness.
250 would do me over the weekend.
250 quid as opposed to 250 million. So we have the Curragh as well on Saturday, Group 3, Phillies race for over a mile, 220. Sugar Island, right? Ryan Moore, Aidan O'Brien, Warner Maiden over 7 furlongs. And the way Aidan spoke about her, at length, she must be well thought of.
Out of Heaven and Earth by Dubawi. So no big surprise, and some beautiful pedigrees here. You might remember Damson, the early days for David Watchman, was a very good horse. And the Justify bred, Looking for a Rainbow, has Paddy Harness on board. And that's, you know, you see these jockeys this year, JD, who've gotten opportunities, Aidan O'Brien, and Paddy is one of them. And to be riding in this race where he can't even claim, taking on Moments of Joy, another Justify out of a Galileo bred mare who was third at Ascot. This race, just the way, like, I tipped three horses yesterday at Navan, who all ran about £20 below their previous run. And on days like that, you're just like, when you're on a sort of a bad run with your tips, you kind of are scratching your head. I've tipped Cape Sui on so many times in maidens. She keeps getting beaten. Now, if she's to win this race, she's only 11-2. You'd be just like, she chooses to win the Group 3. But I kind of have had my fill of her at this stage. I'm going to go with Sugar Island on the basis of, as you say, that regard that she's held in. Riders in the Sky was behind her first time, who has to reoppose. And Jessie has gotten off the mark with a 2-year-old. Took her about 60 horses this year. Maybe she'll start to fire now. Queen of Hawaii is very interested as well. Looked very, very good at Leopardstown.
$250,000 purchase.
Yeah, and by Kingman. But I do like, I get the feeling Ryan Moore should probably get this right. But at a big price, Looking for a Rainbow, didn't shape badly at all behind Diamond Necklace and Minerva, first time out form that ties in with Queen of Hawaii.
You get 14-1 Looking for a Rainbow. You probably will find it if it wins. Roundtower Stakes at 252, Group 3 over 6 furlongs, 11 runners in this. This is competitive. The two I liked were Mission Central out of No Nay Never at the sire. Aidan O'Brien, once again, Ryan Moore, gelded after his maiden, then bolted up by 8 lengths over the course and distance. And the other one I liked was Mushafar, course and distance winner earlier this month on debut, 125 grand purchase out of the sire Van Beethoven, an unusual sire.
He is an unusual sire. I was looking him up today. He ended up with Chad Brown. And this is the wonderful thing about horse racing. You kind of go down absolute rabbit holes in racing. How did that horse end up over there? And then you see, you know, it's kind of, I think he was the last crop of Scat Daddy, so he's important maybe in that you're not going to get any more Scat Daddy bred horses after this. So we've known Ain Ever, I suppose, is the most prominent one in these parts. But Van Beethoven was a decent horse for Aidan O'Brien. And Mushafar, I'm not entirely sure what he achieved on debut, but it was a very, very, it was a very good performance. And it sounded like Dylan Brown McMonagall, he was well backed, and it sounded like Dylan Brown McMonagall afterwards was kind of half expecting it to happen. The other horse I was looking at in this race, Mission Central, he won by 8 lengths at the Curragh, and I thought it was quite funny what Aidan O'Brien said after he beat Chicago Pope. And you know, Aidan would have this kind of reputation as being like quite boring sometimes in interviews, but he's actually not at all.
Not at all.
Yeah,
I met Aidan. Aidan's great crack.
He's very funny, and like to be, and I'm hoping to be there on Monday, and I might get some audio for the show next week maybe, but I'm hoping to be at Ballydoyle next Monday for one of the Champions Stakes visits. But that is a wonderful thing if you get a nice stay, and I'm not sure about Monday weatherwise now, but if you get a nice day in Ballydoyle, it's like you know those terrible like things you see on Instagram, my office for the day when someone's on holidays in Gran Canaria or something and blah, blah, blah. But that is his office. Like, it's looking at the horses in Ballydoyle. But he said, we ran him in Dundalk the first day and he was a bit worse than green. So we came home and we gelded him. He's been perfect since. He's a very quick horse. A bit worse than green. So you can, and was gelded subsequently. So this son of Scat Daddy isn't going to have any progeny, but he's very, very promising. I am probably going to go with the horse you mentioned, the Mushafar.
He was very promising. Into seven to one,
like against 5-4, and he looked very good. He likes the course, and obviously, he looks like he's plenty of class.
Snow Fairy Filly Stakes 3:27 at the Curragh Saturday. 8 runners, a mile and 1 furlong. There's competitive enough race. There's a couple here. Barnavara is getting the hang of it now. She won in her last 2 starts, a 1 mile listed race at Navan over a mile, and then a Group 3 at Nace over 10 furlongs. Sam Gazelle found the French Oaks a bit too hot last time out, but Dan and Gray, she won a listed race over 10 and a half furlongs last time, and this is of a similar grade. So the Goslins aren't turning up like William Haggis for nothing at the Curragh on Saturday.
No, I'd imagine Danny Tudhope will definitely try to make the run-in with her. We've had a lot of chat about pacemakers lately, JD, and the excitement or otherwise they're bringing to races. But I think San Gazelle, this race looks like there will be pace from the Raider here. Taking on, it's intriguing to see Ryan Moore riding a Wooten Bassett for Aidan O'Brien. A race like this is going to be double figures. Doesn't look like she's necessarily improving, but it's not surprising that Red Letter is the horse that there's so much focus on. I liked her performance at Killarney the last day. I don't think she's the nicest trip in the world. She came wide, but travelled like a very good horse. I'm just not sure, does she rate at 107, deserve to be so much shorter than Azada, who was cheap piece off the first time. And again, I have that proviso. I saw Dermot Weld horse win, of course, who I tipped in Galway, who disappointed in Galway, then won in Galway, and won in Killarney in a race I tipped something else in last week. But if Dermwell's horse are in form, Azada on that one length second to one look will definitely be in the first three for me, for Chris Hayes. And she should have a pace to sit off. She's a consistent horse. She should be thereabouts. Beautifully bred horse.
15-2 as well.
Mm.
Is a nice price.
Yeah, I don't think it's a bad price. And Barnavara beat Red Letter 2 runs back at Navan. And you mentioned Barnavara favourably. I hope Red Letter should better that form. And just looking briefly at the expectation of a bit of rain tomorrow for the Curragh, because I know it's going to be a lot of you at Electric Picnic might have a somewhat stormy weekend, but the Curragh is looking like light rain, 15 to 20 mils prior to race impossible, so that'll change things. That'll okay. Suit Red Letter.
Right, we have, it'll suit as well, Godwinson.
Yeah.
In the Irish Cambridgeshire. And we have Sandown as well. This is an interesting maybe trial for the Guineas next year, a 2-year-old Solario Stakes Group 3. The big guns are going for this one. Publish in the Judmont colours for the Gosden, Pacific Avenue in the Godolphin blue.
Absolute cracker of a race. We've a couple of stakes races at Sandown, which... And this race is really intriguing. It's a shame we don't have 8 runners, but other than that, there's everything else. So Publish... you have a horse here rated 107, who is form figures 1-1-2-2, and is 20-1, give or take, in a bit of spirit, right? Now, if you look at Pacific Avenue, who I'm of a mind to take Publish on the colt, the Kingman colt, he's been short prices both starts, just on the basis that a lot of Kingmans have kinks, and he's very short. And Pacific Avenue, there are no quotes from the race in the race post to last year, but he beat Wild Desert, who was 130 on both Charlie Appleby horses. He's very well bred. He was able to beat him first time out. But at the prices, he's Whalum for me. James Tate has been in brilliant form with his 2-year-olds this year. I think it's the fact that this horse won at Beverly. When he won at Beverly, he beat a horse rated 77. But he beat that horse by 6 lengths in an absolute canter from the front. He could be very exciting, which is what Clifford Lee said afterwards. In my mind, on form and potential, he can't be the price he is, even though it's a good race. So I'm going to... He's Whalum with the saver on Pacific Avenue.
Humidity is going to get a bit of money as well.
Yeah, by Ulysses, whose White Birch has been the star for a good run at Goodwood the last day and definite form chance.
Is there anything else in the Sandown you're looking at?
Not at Sandown. I did want to mention ours at the Curragh. In the nursery, I thought the I thought Fozzie Stack had a really intriguing runner. This is the 4:02 race, like as you would say, JD, a train time race. Jordy Bear, who might be named after a rugby player, maybe. I'm not entirely sure. I feel like I should know something about the owners, Mrs. J. Barrett and Craig Burnick. And maybe I'm not onto something here, but the dam Woody Creek was trained by Fozzie and was very, very good. This is her first runner. Woody Creek's... was second to Gustavus Weston, who's I think still in training actually at the Curra in a Group 3 in August 19. And if this horse and second to Speaking Colours as well in a listed race in 2019, they that sort of form, if the progeny, the first progeny could do anything like repeated off 75, would be a certainty. Started off behind Daytona, was very well backed at Goran, that was a messy race. Then ran behind Dorset. Buenaventura, Cellini, Al Harith, Unbreakable Duke, and South Island with New Zealand in seventh at the Curra. That was a red hot maiden. Again, shape well. Terrible run at Down Royal. But you have to, if you take the fact of 43 days off, I'm fascinated to see how the market calls this horse tomorrow. Could be very well handicapped.
Jordy Bear, this is the 4:02.
By St. Mark's Basilica, is a four season sire who's promising.
7 furlong nursery handicap. They also have a runner of the stacks in. Around Tower Stakes, the Group 3, Red Earth, and Auntie Grand Yearling won an ace maiden on debut over the distance, and he's going up against the likes of Mrs. Mission Central and Mushafar, the race we already previewed.
Yeah, it's a fascinating race, and Fozzie, oh, like his dad, I suppose, before him, always respected with two-year-olds. I should mention Eponine McQueen that race as well. She was very good to beat Kansas the last day for Adrian Murray, who got a big horse, actually got the Oaks winner from last year during the week from Rafe Beckett.
This is mad. Like, Red Earth is between 7 and 12s in the betting. Mm. Why does that happen?
I'd like to suggest that William Hill actually, and they do, William Hill actually takes an opinion. Unfortunately now we've a lot of bookmakers who are basically sort of copying each other.
Following the herd.
And I find this really depressing, because I feel that odds compiling, I loved doing spotlights at the Racing Post. I love doing prices. I particularly loved the odd time when you got it exactly right.
And you ever get a big race right in spotlight?
Oh yeah, I must have done thousands of them over the years. So
what's the tip you're most proudest of in your life?
Sublimity to win the Champion Hurdle at 66-1. In advance, and like that was maybe 2 or 3 weeks out, months out, but he won so easily at 16s on the day. I remember somebody telling me John Carr wouldn't be good enough to train a Champion Hurdle winner, someone in racing, and he showed that he was well capable, and John doesn't have any horse worth talking about these days, but that was a brilliant day. And Philip Carberry in the plate, he rode like his brother Paul. I'd have to say that was it. One of my proudest ones I was very proud of this in a football context, was Liverpool to beat Man City in the Champions League semi-final second leg at the Etihad when they were 1-0 down. Because the first leg, if you remember, at Anfield, was an unbelievable 3-0 win for Liverpool. And after Man City went 1-0 up, Liverpool went out to 18-1. And my attitude was, if Liverpool score one, and there was away goals at the time, this is absolutely done. Like, done. So if they get one, City's like the belief will be gone. And once they got one, so I went up to, in my days at Twitter, I went up to Twitter and I was like, this is a total overreaction. You can't let this bet go. 18-1. Liverpool, if they get one, it's a bit like the Big Short. If you're betting on, if you're taking on the housing crisis, just go bet for everything to collapse or whatever. So if Man City are 5-1 down, 4-1 down on aggregate, was it 4-0 in the first leg or 3-0? Anyway, if Liverpool scored, the Man City's heads will drop. Away goal. They did, and they won 2-1. It was beautiful. It was beautiful, Fats, to borrow the Hustler. I looked beautiful that night.
Sam Norris and William Hill is on the line. How are you, Sam?
Speaking of beautiful.
I'm very good, Charles. Thank you ever so much,
Do you remember that night, Sam?
I was just trying to catch my mind back and remember.
What year, JD?
Who do you follow, Sam?
First leg. I'm a Wolves fan, so I don't watch much Champions League football.
Right.
Yeah. It was one of these... You have to think against the herd. You're on about the herd. You have to think against the herd. And it was one of those nights. Nobody's expecting Liverpool to win this, because Man City now, it's going to be a grandstand. But Liverpool at the time had, you know, they'd like all of the attacking players that you remember from the glory days of Klopp. If they get one goal, it's done. And I love that attitude. Like if it's kind of like betting against the market at times. And sometimes you can win.
One thing I've learned over the years of watching racing is horses improving from an age to an age.
Mm.
like 7 to 8 chasers or catching them. Horses can improve in a year, and just because they've been maybe placed or in a hedge hunter as an example, album photo, Nick Rocket this year. Horses can improve, folks. Always just never discount a horse. Oh, well, turned up last year, didn't do it. Horses can improve from an age to an age.
Yeah, it was like when Adamant approached one as a 13-year-old. He won. He was an unbelievable horse. I think he was 13, if not. And Ruby Wallace said, "She'll be some horse next year." horses absolutely can improve. Depending on who trains them. Michael Halvern, I remember telling me he's a big baby. I was talking about a 5-year-old flat horse one day. I was like, "Geez, you are patient with your horses."
Yeah. Okay, what's getting the most money then this weekend, Sam? What is the biggest market for you?
Well, it's interesting that kind of Johnny mentioned there taking a view on horses. And we'll go to the scenario stakes at Sandown maybe to kick off. A bit like Johnny, we're kind of lukewarm about Publish at this kind of price. So we're taking a bit of a view on Publish. I think we're top price even money at the moment. The Sandown maiden that he won is working out well, but as is the Newmarket maiden that Pacific Avenue won, we think their form's incredibly similar. So going to try and take on Publish a bit in that race at even money. Pacific Avenue 9-4 at the moment. It's an interesting point on Heath Whalen as well, having won the Beverly race. Obviously, we saw Life Plan go and win the Gimcrack last week at York off the back of just winning a Thirsk maiden. So you can win an on paper run of the mill Northern maiden and still go on to make a splashing in kind of group company.
Nothing wrong with the North, Sam, at all. And look at the pedigree of the horse as well, right? So the Dam has produced 5 horses. And all but one of them has won, and 3 of them have been very smart. And this horse is by 2 Darren Hot. It's a very, very hot sire. And after the race, again, you're trying to figure out, he's beaten a horse rated 77. What did he achieve? But he's won by 6 lengths first time out, and he was able to go out in front and stride on under a very confident rider. So I like him at the prices.
Yeah, I can definitely say that. And humility in the race as well. I know he disappointed at Goodwood last time around, but won the Cheshire in the run before, so 7 furlong trip, or to suit. He's on the board at 17-2, but trying to take on Publish. I suppose the problem with not taking a huge view, etc., when everyone's 10-11, you can take a view on the horse by going even money. You don't need to be 5-4, 6-4, etc. You can just go one click above and you're top price, and you've taken a bit of a view.
Can I just ask you, and people should not take this for granted, William Hill happens to be the sponsor of this podcast, but William Hill is essentially the only bookmaker who's pricing up races early now. Good races, but pricing up early. What's the attitude in the trading room to... I spoke about it just before we came on, the copy and paste antics of bookmakers now, who unfortunately, and it's the world we live in where we're afraid of AI and we're afraid of less and less human involvement, and bookmakers want to employ less people and do things as price conscious as possible. So odds compiling is almost like a thing of the past in some respects, Sam.
Yeah, I mean, we've got a terrific team of compilers here who are taking a view on these races and who are getting involved kind of pre-race. And we sort of separate a lot of people's skills in the trading room. Some people are traders, i.e. they're better at managing the book on the day, etc., seeing where the money's coming, making little adjustments here and there. And then we have some guys who are pure traditional odds compilers, i.e. they're looking at the race from scratch, coming up with a list of prices, and then we'll put those prices out, and then the trading team might need to move in and make some little adjustments here and there. But we do still try and have a core group who are pure odds compilers before the kind of traders, the risk managers, if you like, move in a little bit. So trying to keep a bit of tradition in that regard.
So you're one bookmaker that's taken money for Godwinson and the Irish Cambridgeshire, the Curragh on Saturday, Sam.
Yeah, we have laid Godwinson already. The market's just starting to gain a bit of traction over the last kind of hour or so, but it's not massively surprising that Godwinson's been well backed. Obviously, Ryan Moore booked to ride. We're 9-2 into 7-2 for this horse. He won the William Hill Lincoln back in March. A lot of Lincoln winners kind of don't maintain their form all the way through the course of the season, but he's been pretty lightly raced since then. He's only had a couple of starts, Godwinson. So usually, with September around the corner, I'd be thinking, yeah, they were hard prepped to win a Lincoln, but are they going to maintain their form? But he's been campaigned, I guess, in typical William Haggis style. He doesn't overrace them too much. He doesn't send a ton over to the Curragh. He's got a good record when he does.
He's 9 from 32 with his Irish Raiders the last 5 seasons, Sam. That's 5 from 11 with 3-year-olds.
In profit?
He's in profit.
£3.15 to level stake, I think, just at the Curragh. I don't know what his numbers are in Ireland. So
I feel that, Sam, from an Irish perspective, they're very much of a muchness. And I have tipped an Irish horse, but there's no horse there crying out to be backed.
Yeah, very much. And that's kind of what we've seen with the rest of them. The only one, I guess, who's seen a little nibble is Kerr Dorr of Dermot Wells. He obviously won the race 2 years ago. He's now back on the mark that he won the race off 97, but he's a 9 year old now. He hasn't done anything in the last 2 years, but I guess he is, you know, back over a C&D that he likes. He's back down to a winning mark. We've just taken a half point off his price, but
he was second. Yeah, there's not a ton being backed. Sorry, State Act, he was fourth in the race last year. State Act was second, beaten ahead. So JD's selected. There is that sort of form. It's questions, I guess, if they are laid out for, but I can't imagine Cordor wasn't laid out for Galway and he was disappointed.
Yeah, I think you'd be spot on in that assessment. You'd think that they would have framed his season maybe around this, given that, you know, his big heyday came in this race. The campaign looks light enough as though it's been pointed towards this. So, yeah, particularly for these big handicaps, when trainers sort of pinpoint the race and work back, you do see punters kind of trying to latch on to things like that.
You getting any money for any other horses at the Curragh on Saturday, Sam?
Unsurprisingly, we mostly laid the Aidan O'Brien representatives in the if the 2 year old race, is which won't be a huge surprise. Sugar Island, 9-4 in the Phillies race. She's 33-1 for next season's 1,000 guineas. Winner on debut. You know, the O'Brien horses always come on for the first run. So the fact that she won on debut is obviously a huge positive. And Mission Central, popular as well. It's going to be a double the punters like. 11-8, absolutely sluiced up last time around. Obviously, no classic quotes for Mission Central as he's a gelding, but he destroyed the field last time around. Race is not working out all that well, but he fair battered them. And then again, speaking of taking maybe a bit of a view, in the Snow Fairy Stakes, the Group 3, Red Letter and San Gazelle at the top of the betting. We much prefer the form of San Gazelle's run at York last time around compared to the listed race that Red Letter won at Killarney. So we're going to look to take Red Letter on in that, who's currently 2-1. San Gazelle is 5-2. I mean, San Gazelle is a very, very rare runner for John O'Fady Gosden over in Ireland. I think they've only had 3 runners at the Curragh last 5 years, 1 winner, 2 placed efforts. So we think that the York race that she won was a lot better than the Killarney race that Red Letter won. See if that pans out in that fashion, but trying to take Red Letter on in that race at the Curragh.
It's a mad stuff with Gosden's. I got to ask you just while you're there, the Ark. If you like the ladies, the Ark is your place to be. Kalpana, Whirl and Mini Hawk. Hills are top price all three for the Ark. It's interesting. I love Mini Hawk's a horse. I still struggle to see why she hasn't been maybe respected enough by the layers as a 3-year-old filly in this race, getting all the allowances, and she's beaten Whirl already, who's shorter than her. But it's a really intriguing market, Sam.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, there's kind of debate as to who's been the outstanding 3-year-old filly of this season. Is it Whirl? Is it Mini Hawk? You know, Kalpana, I think Kalpana's going to tread the Enable route, isn't she, and go to the September Stakes at Kempton next week, I think it is the September Stakes. They've got 2 Group 3s on the card there. So she's going to head there next week. Be interesting to see, A, what kind of opposition she faces, and B, whether it has any impact on her price at all. Whereas, you know, Whirl and Mini Hawk, don't know if either are going to have a prep run before they head out to France or not. So it'll be fascinating to see what the next few weeks bring, particularly if we do see Kalpana on the all-weather at Kempton next week. Didn't do Enable any harm.
Okay, Johnny, you got a 50-euro charity bet on the Racing Pod this week. Are you going to go 50 in the nose or 25 each way?
Pony something? Each way in a horse, 22s into fives last week and finishes third in a 5-runner race. Now, you'll take that every day if you can go down to the start, 22s into fives. But I'm going to have to go at SP here, unfortunately, but because understandably the nursery is not priced up. I'm going to go Win here. Jordy Bear. We all love to hug a bear. Geordie Bear, tongue tie and cheapies on for the first time. J.A. Stack and the inform J.M. Sheridan in the plate. I just like the profile of this horse coming in for support. Fozzie, brilliant. Just, I always associate this yard with shrewdness. 2-year-olds know when the money is down that they know what they're at. And unusually for a nursery, unlike the Cambridgeshire, you're expecting horses to have like lots of upside. I actually found this a strange nursery where very few made any appeal, really. And Geordie Bear is the anomaly in that regard. So give us a nifty at a nice price, hopefully, SP.
This week's charity bet, Johnny, 50 on the nose. Geordie Bear, number 5 in the 402 at Curragh on Saturday. Sam Norris, thanks so much, man.
Thanks, guys.
Johnny, thank you.
Cheers,
look forward
Judy.
To speaking next week. That was the Racing Pod, folks. A reminder, the full Off The Ball Racing Pod is now free wherever you get your pods. We're back next week. Look forward to having your company then.
The Racing Pod
on Off the Ball
with William Hill. Who you got? 18 plus. See gamblingcare.ie.